I am glad to be here today. I'm honored that Glenn would entrust me with his pulpit, if you will. And gentlemen, thank you for coming and praying. You know, I like that. I like the fact that we have a church where men are willing to come forward and lift God's name up. I think that's important. I really do. In Old Testament, this is not the sermon, just a freebie. In the Old Testament, every year, God called all males to come to Him. And you think, well, what's the big deal? Who stays home to take care of the women and children? They had to trust God to take care of all those things. Because there was a time that all men need to present, men and young boys need to present themselves before God. And I think that's a good show, that men come forward and present themselves before God and lead the church as it should be. And men, I praise God for that. And thank you for letting me see that and be a part of that this morning. my name is Kyle Costin. And the beautiful young girl with me this morning is my granddaughter, Annabella Grace. And she's my shadow a good portion of the time, and I'm all right with that. this morning, if you will, turn with me to the Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Y'all normally get out at noon, or does it matter? I'll stop when y'all start dozing off. How about that? I'm just kidding. Genesis chapter 5 and verses 18 through 24 is my focus this morning. But I want to read first two or three verses, and then I'll give you a couple pieces along the way till we get there. Because I want us to look at Enoch, if you will, for a minute this morning. But in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "This is the document containing the family records of Adam. On the day that God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female. And when they were created, He blessed them and called them mankind. Adam was 130 years old when he fathered his son in his likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. Adam lived 800 years after Seth and fathered other sons and daughters. Adam's life lasted 930 years, and then he died. Verse 8, Seth's life lasted 912 years, and then he died. Enosh, verse 11, life lasted 905 years, and then he died. Verse 14, Kenan's life lasted 910 years, and then he died. Mahalalel's life lasted 895 years, and then he died. Verse 18, Jared was 162 years old when he fathered Enoch. Jared lived 800 years after he fathered Enoch and he fathered other sons and daughters. So Jared's life was 962 years, and then he died. Enoch was 65 years old when he fathered Methuselah. After he fathered Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and fathered other sons and daughters. So Enoch's life lasted 365 years. Verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and then he was not there because God took him. Did you notice? Now, I made a point all through here, their life lasted this many years, and then they what? They died. My friend, that's what our schedule is. Eventually, we all come to the point where we pass away, right? But here's this unique person in Scripture, Enoch. And Enoch walked with God and he was not there because God took him. And we'll look in Hebrews in a little bit and it tells us, look, God took him alive to heaven because he walked with him. Now, I want us to consider Enoch this morning. And there's not a lot we know about him other than what was said right here. He walked with God and then he was not. Now, I don't know about you, but to walk close enough with God that He says, come on to my house. There's a story about a little girl that in her Sunday school class, they learned about Enoch, and she gets home after church and says, well, tell us about your Sunday school story. So, well, it was about a man named Enoch that he walked with God every day. And one day they just got too far from Enoch's house and God said, come on to my house. Pretty good picture, if you will. That's very possible. God said, just come on to my house. Man, what would it be like to walk with God in such a fashion that he says, just come on. We look in Scripture and we see several characters in Scripture, if you will. And we look at Enoch. Enoch and Elijah are the only two men in Scripture that we know of that did not die. Noah and Enoch are one of the two men that God said actually walked with him, that he referred to him. And far as I know, there's only two men that God himself made the comment that he was well pleased with. One of them was his son Jesus Christ. You remember when he come up out of the water? And he says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Enoch, God made the same comment about in Scripture. He was pleased with him. What pleases God? Anybody in here want to please God with their life? I think we all probably do, do we not? We're here for that. We're here this morning for that purpose. But I want us to consider a little bit about the time in which Enoch lived. Y'all bear with me. I'll get through being nervous here in a couple minutes. You'd think after 20-something years you wouldn't be that way, but it's not the truth. Enoch lived at a time in the world when things were very wicked. It was a very wicked generation, if you will. Just to give you the idea, his son Methuselah, that lived 969 years, the longest record of a man living, lived 969 years. Methuselah's name meant it will come. When he died, the flood came. He himself was somewhat of a prophecy of what was to come. And when you think about the flood, I mean, it's a wonderful story. We tell our children, we learn it, teach in Vacation Bible School. But for God to look down at the earth and say, you know, I'm sorry I made this place and want to destroy it completely. It had to be pretty wicked, right? Pretty wicked, because you follow that through and you look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, if you've never read much about Sodom and Gomorrah, that was one evil place. But it never got to the point he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but not the whole world. Enoch was living in a time when the world was wicked, if you will. He even prophesied in the book of Jude about the end of time. And if you will, I want to read a little piece of that to you. Out of Jude chapter 1, it says, these people are dangerous. Reefs at love fest, at the eat with you without reverence. They are shepherds who look after themselves. They are waterless clouds carried along by winds. Trees in late autumn, fruitless, twice dead, uprooted. They are wild waves of the sea foaming up in their shameful deeds. Wandering stars from whom the blackness of darkness is reserved forever. It was about these that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied. Look, the Lord comes with tens of thousands of holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly concerning all the ungodly acts that have done in an ungodly way and concerning all the harsh things ungodly sinners have said against him. These people are discontented grumblers living according to their desires. Their mouths utter arrogant words, flattering people for their own advantage. Whew. Does that sound a lot like our world today? People are seeking after just to please themselves. They grumble, they're discontented, their desires are only for themselves. Now, Jude is actually prophesying, Enoch is prophesying about the end of time. But one of the neat things about prophecy, very frequently, it has an immediate application and then a future one. The days of Enoch were exceedingly wicked. And he was living in those days, And God was using him and his life to testify, if you will, and to the world around him before the flood come. And you think, well, the flood, that's 969 years later down the road, right? You know what that says to me? We serve a God that is merciful and he's patient. You know what he was waiting on? You know what God's waiting on today? The reason he has not returned, the reason rapture hasn't taken place, the reason Armageddon's not here. You know why God has not come back yet? It's because he is merciful and he is waiting on you if you don't know him as your Savior. He's waiting because he desires all men come to know him as their Lord and Savior. He's a patient God. And we see that from the beginning of the Bible in Genesis all the way through the end, that our God is a merciful God. And he desires people to come to him, and he's waiting upon you. You ever thought, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know, you might be the one person God's waiting on before he comes back. Because someday that last person will say, accept Christ as your Savior, and I'm out of here because he's coming back. One day that last person will confess him as Lord. Today might be that day. We just don't know that. But let's get back to Enoch, because I want us to look at Enoch, some things that we can apply in our life, because he says he walked with God, and then he was not because God took him. You know, Enoch only lived 365 years. That just wasn't very long, was it? Anybody in here want to live 365? I don't. He wasn't even half of his contemporaries' ages. Did you catch those ages? 900 years, 800 something years, 902 years. My soul, could you imagine living that long? We sang God Bless America a few minutes ago. How long has America been around? 220 something years? Is that it? That seems like forever, doesn't it? Enoch lived longer than that, and he was only half the age of the guys around him. But anyway, he lives that 365 years, but 300 of those years, it's very specific that after he fathered Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, fathered other sons and daughters. To walk with God, what does that imply? What does that imply for you and I? Sometimes Scripture doesn't have to spell everything out. I was pondering about this passage. And I thought, well, you know, why didn't God give us more about Enoch? Why didn't he kind of, I mean, if he was a guy that walked with him and then God decided to take him, why didn't he not give us more about him? You ever thought about that? Maybe we'd have been too focused on Enoch and not focused on Jesus if he had told us too much. God knows exactly what he's doing when he's doing it. But he said he walked with God. In order to walk with God, and we should walk with God, should we not? It implies that Enoch had to have been reconciled with God. Why did he need to be reconciled with God? Because Enoch was born from his father, and that father from that father, and you go all the way back to the first part of chapter 5, and you notice when God created Adam and Eve, he created them in whose image? His image. Adam had a child, and he was after whose image? Adam's. What is he saying to us there? Adam sinned, and we are all born with a sinful nature, are we not? We could go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and it talks about sin entered into the world through one man, Adam, and to all men, so we all became sinners. Enoch was no different. He was born with a sinful nature. He had to be reconciled unto God, because he walked with him. And in the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3, he says, can two walk together unless they are in agreement, unless they are in unity? Will God walk alongside sinful, ugly man and have fellowship unless they are reconciled first? No. If you want to walk with God in the fashion he's talking about walking with him, you have to be reconciled unto him, because, see, God does not conform to man's standards. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed, right? God don't change. Our world today, everybody has their own idea about what's right, what's wrong. They want to change this book. They want to shuffle it. They want to rewrite it. All these different things. My friend, God does not change who He is. He's not going to lower His standard to walk with man. Man's got to change to walk with Him. We have to be reconciled with God Almighty through Jesus Christ our Savior if we want to walk with God. If you want to walk with God, you have to be reconciled unto Him. You have to be. And what does it mean to be reconciled? You've got to be made right with Him, right? You have to be made right. So Enoch, just the fact that he walked with God implies to you and I, excuse me, that he had been reconciled with God. Well, how can he be reconciled with God? Jesus hadn't come yet. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, right? We could go to Hebrews and look at their faith. Those men in Hebrews chapter 11, men and women, actually, he says clearly in Scripture, they were looking forward to what was coming, believing before it ever come. Wow. They were looking forward to heavenly things before Christ ever come made a way. By faith, Enoch was taken away, 11:5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so he did not experience death. He was not to be found because God took him away. For before he was taken away, he was approved as one who pleased God. Verse 6, now without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Enoch had faith in God and he sought after him. He sought after him. He was reconciled unto God. You and I have to be reconciled unto God. But see, he made it easy for us. Jesus Christ came and shed his blood so we can come to him and accept salvation through Christ Jesus. That was the plan from the beginning. But it also this implied, if you will, not only that he was reconciled to him, but to walk with God implies having a like nature. Having that like nature. So he didn't have the nature of Adam any longer because he was reconciled. He had a godly nature. If you've accepted Christ Jesus as your Savior, can I move around? Is that going to mess you up in the camera back there? I can't be still and talk. I don't think well when I'm still. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, the book of Romans 5, 6, 7, 8 says that you are a new creation. You have been made new. You are not the same any longer. You are covered by the blood of Christ. He has taken your sin. He has given you His righteousness. He has made you new. You're not the same anymore. You know, I share a story frequently. As Christians, sometimes we forget who we are. We forget who we are in Christ. When you accept Christ, that transformation he talks about in Romans, we are transformed into His image. You ever picked up a little caterpillar? You look at a little old caterpillar and it's all just a fuzzy worm, isn't it? What happens when it cocoons up and sets for a little while? What happens to that worm? It turns to a butterfly, right? It's transformed into something new. That butterfly will never, ever be a worm again because he's been made a butterfly. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you are made new. You're a new creation. So, Christian, quit acting like a worm and look beautiful like a butterfly. All right? You'll forget everything else but that today. We have a new nature. Enoch had a new nature in order to walk with God. In the book of 1 John, I love 1 John, he talks about, if you will, verses 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. So Enoch had to be walking in the light in order to walk with God, did he not? In order for us to walk with God, we got to get out of the darkness. And we got to walk with him in the light, because he is light. You, to have fellowship with him, you got to walk in the light. So basically, God says, you can't play around with the world and walk with me at the same time. You're going to have to pick one or the other. You're going to walk with me, or you're going to walk with the world. We can't do both, right? Talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, talking about being unequally yoked. We cannot be unequally yoked. What is he talking about? In other words, don't walk with the sinners. Walk with him. Now, does that mean we avoid people that are lost? Now, we're church folks. We can't associate with the lost people, right? That's not what he's talking about. That is not what he's talking about, being unequally yoked. He's called us to share the gospel with them and to share the love of Christ with them. But as we walk with God. And he says, take my burden upon me. Take my yoke upon you, because my burden is light, right? You ever seen a team of mules? Some of y'all probably, anybody in here ever run a team of mules? Really? She's the only one in here? When you yoke up some oxen or some mules, there's two, but one of them is always the lead. One's the lead mule or the lead ox, whatever. One's always the head guy, if you let me put it in those terms. When we yoke ourselves with God, he's in charge. And where he goes, we follow, because you're yoked. You can't get loose. You're stuck to him. Are we choosing to be yoked with God and walk where he goes? So if I'm going to walk with God, I have to be reconciled unto him. I have to have his nature, if you will. Because see, Jesus, when we accept him as our Savior, he takes your sin and gives us his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. If you don't know that verse, you ought to go to it and circle it and highlight it. Because he says, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So all the filthiness of this world has to offer, Jesus said, I'll take that. And I'll pay the price for that. And if you come unto me, I'll take yours and I'll give you my righteousness. Then you can walk in fellowship with him, because you're walking in the light. You're reconciled unto him. You have a like nature, because you're walking with him in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, as Jesus took your sins. And also to walk with God, if you look here, he says, Enoch walked with God, then he was not. In order to walk with God, there has to be some moral fitness. I was struggling for good words there. A holiness, if you will. God does not keep company with the unclean. How many of you woke up this morning and said, boy, I feel holy today? Any of you? Y'all are a quiet bunch. We're going to stand up and salute or something here in a minute. Y'all going to have to wake up. Do you wake up feeling holy very often? No, we probably don't. We don't wake up feeling holy. But are you holy? If you have Christ Jesus in you, he's given you his righteousness. You are holy. When God looks down at Tommy, he don't see Tommy. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees the righteousness of Jesus in him. He sees a holy child of his. Not because of nothing he did, because I know him. Yeah, I know you do. Not because of anything we do, or not because we are good enough, but because Jesus took care of the problem. He sees that righteousness in us. Man, you're quick on the draw back there, but I like that. Holiness. God doesn't keep company with the unclean. Back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, about walking in that light and that darkness. God doesn't keep company with that. He doesn't have fellowship with him. He's not going to walk in those things. To walk with God in his holiness means you give up going your way, doing what you want to do. God ever demanded anything from you? You know, when you accept Him as your Savior, you're not your own anymore. You belong to Him. You belong to Him. To walk with God means we cease to walk our way, abandoning the world and deciding to follow Him. Romans 6:13, present yourself to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. When we accept Him, we present, God, here I am, my instruments, my hands, my ears, my mouth, my nose, all that I am, I'm giving it to You for You to use for Your purpose. Because you realize when you accept Christ as your Savior, He has left you here for His purpose to share the gospel, whether it be in word or deed. I love the old saying, share the gospel everywhere you go and use words when you need it. Share the gospel and tell it when you need to open your mouth and tell it. People should look at you and I and say, there's something different about them. What is that? It's Jesus in us. Why? Because we are holy because He is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1:16 says, be holy because I'm holy. We're called to be holy. What does it mean to be holy? You ever thought about it? What it means to you? I asked you a while ago, did you wake up feeling holy this morning? Mm-mm. I didn't. But you know what I am. Holy means set apart. In other words, I don't look like the world. I'm set apart from the world and unto God. Now, I bet if I ask this question, there'll be several of you. Did you wake up this morning and say, God, good morning, here I am. I'm going to church. I'm Yours. That's being holy. You've decided that today I'm going to let the Lord use me. You know, that over the years, God has allowed me the privilege of traveling and sharing the gospel on several continents. And I have to, and you think, well, what an amazing thing. And it is. And I really hate when people say, man, that's awesome. I don't know how you do that. Can I let you in on something? There's been on more than one occasion where I knew that I was supposed to take a team of people into Africa to share the gospel. And the entire way, preparing for it, all the way the plane ride, all the way in my own conversation with God, Lord, I'd rather be at home in my recliner. I don't want to go. I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. But God said, go. And I went. You know the amazing thing God did? Every single time. And I've had two or three of them pity parties. I don't know if that's a good term, but it works for me. Every time, simply being obedient when He says to, whether you want to or not. God met me when my feet hit the ground in that country. And He brought a joy. And I have to admit, the first time I went through that, I wept for a few minutes. Because I realized what God was allowing me to be a part of. Sometimes it ain't about what we want to do. It's about what He wants us to do. So if we're going to walk with Him, we've got to be willing to be reconciled. We've got to walk in the light. We've got to set ourselves apart. And we've got to let Him be in charge. Because He knows what's best. My grandmother, before she passed, she used to say, son, why do you go there? You tell people about Jesus here. I said, because that's not what God told me to do. Well, aren't you scared? I wasn't then. I didn't know better. But now I'm more scared not to do what God says do than I am to stay where I'm at. We live in a wonderful country. We do. If you don't believe that, catch the airplane and travel a little while. You'll come back. You'll enjoy with the freedom that you have. We're sitting this morning in a beautiful church, comfortable seats, air conditioning blowing, sound system so everybody can hear. And we get to leave and go home and we'll all have a nice meal for lunch. That's not the norm for the world. My friend, the norm for the world, when you start looking at the population as a whole, they don't have that. So walking with God is a little more difficult in some places. Our walk with God's fairly easy. I doubt today any of us will face physical persecution for showing up to church. If you was to accept Christ as your Savior and walk down here this morning, I would be willing to say you probably can go home to your family and they will accept you back. Even if they're not believers, it's okay. They're not going to kick you out. Whereas a good portion of the world, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you're excommunicated from the family, sometimes beaten, if not worse. We live in a wonderful place to serve the Lord. A comfortable place to serve the Lord. But back to my message. I got sidetracked. Sorry. To walk with God implies a surrendered will. I've kind of been talking about that. A surrendered will. To walk with Him means going where God wants. What if, could you imagine walking along with God? God says, come on, let's go to my house. Enoch says, well, no, I'm having pinto beans for dinner. I think I'll go back home. That's exactly what I... What? What? You're not going to go with God? Why wouldn't you? Why would we not walk with God when we have the opportunity to? We trade that off for something else that the world has to offer, if you will? I don't think so. What did Jesus say to His disciples? In Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 28, He said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and go do whatever you want to do. Is that what it says? No, it says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. Deny self. In other words, whatever you want, put it to the side. Pick up your cross and follow Me. Now, does that mean we need to tote a cross around on our shoulder everywhere we go? That ain't what He's talking about. He's talking about following Him. Following Him. Take My yoke upon you. We've already talked about that. Walking with God implies in a surrendered will, if you will. Now, to walk with God also implies that one has a continual growth and spiritual communion. I hate the spiritual. That just, our world messed that term up, if you will. But to have communion with God. You know what it is to have communion with God? Anybody in here been married over 50 years? Your wife ever complete your sentences? She'd give you the, thank you, brother. Mine does. I haven't been married 50 years yet, but mine can, I don't have to, I just, she look at me and she'll say what I'm thinking. I'm like, stop it. Why? Because we have communed, we have been together, we have spent intimate time together, knowing one another. Do we know God that well? He knows us that well, but do we know Him? Can we have the mind of Christ? Yes, Philippians chapter 2 talks about us having the mind of Christ. We can have the mind of Christ, but we got to be willing to put ourselves aside. We got to surrender that will. We got to have communion with Him. And we got to be willing to walk by faith and not by sight, as it says in Corinthians. Hebrews chapter 11, back there, verse 5. Enoch was taken because he did what? He pleased God. You cannot please God and walk with the world. You have to walk with Him. Not just walk with Him. And to walk with Him means that just the idea of walking implies a continuing forward motion, right? I can't get out that door unless I walk forward to get out there, right? Or I walk backwards if you want to be smart aleck about it. But to walk, I've got to move, right? To walk with Christ, our relationship with Him, our spiritual walk needs to grow daily. We need to spend time with Him and grow daily. We need to have faith in Him and not just by what we see and what we feel. Because my friends, sometimes what we see in this world is a lie. Sometimes what we feel in this world is a lie. There's been times where my wife would complete sentences and I'm thinking, does she even like me? I know she does. I know she loves me. But sometimes your feelings will lie to you. Does God like me? If He let this happen to me, He can't like me. How could God allow such things to happen? My friend, God has your best interest and His glory in mind always. Sometimes what we think is best for us is not what God says is best for us. Are we going to trust the one who created us and walk with Him and grow? Walking with Him brings about growth and knowledge of Him, if you will. You know, it's one thing to know about someone, and it's something entirely different to know that person, to know them. I was joking around when we first come in, introduced to a couple of teenagers, and here's Shay and her boyfriend. Well, look at Dad. Are y'all keeping an eye on him? Uh-huh. It's all right, son. They should. Why do we keep an eye on him? I don't know him yet. I don't know him yet. Do we know God well? Are we growing in Him that we have a relationship as such that He knows us and we know Him, if you will? Could you think of a better companion to have in your walk through this life? I can't. I can't think of a better companion. Walking closely with God will also bring peace and joy. You ever had peace when it didn't make sense to have peace? The world's coming to an end, you think, in your life? I recall one particular time God showed that to me. The ability to have that peace that passes understanding with walking with Him. I left Houston one Sunday morning early. My wife was in ICU, not doing very well. I drive all the way to Huntsville because I got to teach my Sunday school class. And on the way, I caught myself singing and just having a wonderful time praising the Lord on the way back to the house to change and go to the church. And then suddenly I started feeling guilty. My wife's laying in the hospital bad. And I'm just as at peace and joyful as I could be. I get there and I went in and I talked to Reagan, Glenn's brother. I said, Reagan, what's wrong with me? He said, the problem is there's nothing wrong with you. He says, you're experiencing that peace that passes understanding. Because you're walking with Christ. You're doing what He said. My friend, when we walk with Him, He brings that peace. What did David say? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thy rod and thy staff are with me. Well, I'm not going to fear anything because I know who's walking with me. Do you know who's walking with you? Anybody in here have a spiritual role model that they look up to? I think most of us probably do. There's somebody in our life, even if they're not here anymore. What was it about them that spoke to you? Was it what they said to you or how they lived? Had to be both most of the time. You can say one thing and live another, but to say one thing and live it, that speaks loud, does it not? When you walk with God, you have a testimony that the world sees, whether they hear you or not. Whether they hear you or not. Now, let me close out. You're thinking, whew, finally. Enoch walked with God, and then God took him. My friend, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, there'll be a day when He takes us away. See, Enoch did not get to pick when he was translated, when he was raptured, when he was taken away. Whatever term you want to use, God said, you're going with me. There'll be a day when he looks down and his children, he'll say, we're out of here. We don't get to pick it. Now, he might choose to let you experience death like he does most everybody. But even in that, what does it say in Thessalonians? The dead in Christ shall rise first. So if you die before rapture, you know who goes first? You or the living. We're out of here, right? But Enoch didn't get to pick it. He didn't get to control how it. We don't get to control how we get from here to heaven, do we? The only part we play is, do we know Christ? He picks the when, the where, and the how. Our part is to put our trust in Him and walk with Him. When, where, and how. Are you ready if He says now's your time? Are you ready? Now, I could think of a lot of people to walk with, and I could think some I wouldn't want to walk with. How about you? But I can't imagine not wanting to walk with God Almighty. You know, I remember back as a child, I thought my father was a superhero, I guess. He was the toughest guy on the block, smartest guy. He was it. In my mind, I remember, I'm the only one, but I remember on the playground, we get in arguments about whose dad was the best. I thought mine was the best. I was comfortable. I never worried. I never feared when I walked with him. He was my earthly hero, but he was a man. He's still my hero because he's a godly man. But my friends, when we walk with God, you don't have anything to fear. Because no one, nothing in this world or beyond this world will touch you unless He says so, if you're His. My question to you this morning, if you don't know Him as your Savior, what are you waiting on? He's calling. If you know Him as your Savior, are you walking with God? Is it possible that God would look at you and say, let's go to my house today? Man, what a thing to go to His house. Because His house means eternity has begun for me. Are you ready? Who do you walk with? The world? Or you walk with God? Heavenly Father, come to you this morning. And I just thank you that for your Son Jesus, that He's came and He's paid the price on the cross. Lord, He shed His blood that He might cleanse me of my sin, that I might have redemption, that I might be reconciled unto you. Lord, my prayer is if there's one here this morning, Lord, that doesn't know you, that you would draw them into you. Lord, if there's Christians here that's just kind of wandered off the path and not walked yoked next to you, allowing you to lead the way, Lord, that we'd stop. And just turn around and say, here am I, Lord. I want to go with you. Wherever you lead, I'll follow. Lord, speak to us this morning as only you can do. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.